Hello and welcome to Pillars of Wealth Creation, where we talk about creating financial success with a special focus on business and real estate. I'm your host, Todd Dexheimer. Now, let's get to it.
You know, it's like I said, super uncomfortable. I mean, I was just to turn off a very well-paying job and walk away from that was obviously the most uncomfortable part, you know, with a wife and a couple kids. I think having done it, you know, now, like, it's been the best decision. And I think the mindset is, you know, you're out there and you sort of eat what you kill.
Are you ready to start investing in real estate today, but don't know where to start? Sometimes investing can seem way too complicated, but it actually couldn't be any easier than with homeinvest.com. You know, the co-founder and my friend, Nate Armstrong, he appeared on episode 20. And if you haven't heard it, go back and listen to it. Episode number 20. Home Invest is a company that allows you to invest in turnkey real estate. Their goal is to build powerful investment tools that make real estate investing accessible to everyone. They have contractors and property managers available for you with the click of your mouse. While other real estate agents can only offer a property, Home Invest brings you a full turnkey package that allows you to diversify your investments, earn passive income, and start building equity and properties. Their simple, intuitive design allows newcomers and experienced investors alike to hit the ground running and to be able to choose the properties when they want and where they want. View easy-to-understand charts and data to allow you to buy in only a few clicks or just a simple phone call. With Home Invest, you'll be building your portfolio as quickly or as slowly as you would like. And right now, Home Invest is giving our listeners, Pillar of Wealth Creation listeners, a free course on how to finally win in real estate investing. So go to homeinvest.com/pillars. That's homeinvest.com/pillars to claim your free course today. Hello and welcome to Pillars of Wealth Creation. I'm your host, Todd Dexheimer, and with me is Andrew Campbell. Andrew, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Todd. How are you?
Awesome. So Andrew is a native Austinite. He's a real estate entrepreneur who has built a $48 million portfolio, 466 investment units across Texas. And Andrew's background is in marketing, research, and brand strategy, spending time in both advertising agencies and emerging technology consultancies, also spending some time in Minnesota working as well. Andrew is a co-founder and managing director of Wildhorn Capital, who is a multifamily syndication company focusing on buying value-add properties in Texas. With that, I will let Andrew tell us a little bit more about what he's got going on right now and maybe a little bit about your background.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me. Looking forward to talking real estate with you and the listeners. I mean, I think you covered it pretty well. You know, I grew up in Austin. I got an advertising degree. Like I said, I spent some time in Minneapolis, was working kind of big ad agencies, and I didn't get into real estate until about 6 or 7 years ago. Maybe a little bit longer than that. But in 2008, I was living in Minneapolis. I got a phone call that my dad had had a big stroke. So flew back to Austin. I basically never left. You know, it was a big kind of ordeal. I ended up having to move home, quit my job. I was 27 at the time, kind of figured out, like, big, you know, 9 months off. I basically took off and helped him kind of rehab. And, you know, it ended up being just obviously a big moment in my life of just sort of reevaluating what I wanted to do and kind of the flexibility, the lack of flexibility that I didn't really have. So it's kind of spun me down the path of reevaluating my priorities and thinking about the need to get, you know, passive income, the need to create some more flexibility in my life. And that's really kind of what propelled me into real estate. So, you know, started reading books and got introduced to just the idea of buying like a duplex, buying a rental property. And eventually, sort of a couple of years after that, I jumped in, bought a duplex, then we bought a fourplex, bought another fourplex, kind of scaled that up to 76 units. Just doing that with my brother and I were doing that, you know, sort of alongside each other. And learned the business, you know, fell in love with kind of the idea of buying a Class C property, you know, fixing it up a little bit, how to treat your tenants right, and realized like this is the path that I want to go do. This was going to allow me to check a lot of those initial boxes around, you know, lifestyle flexibility and just having the freedom to help go take care of my dad, you know, be around more for my kids, that sort of thing.
Awesome. So you bought, it sounds like 1 to 4 families right away. Kind of.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what got you into then buying, you just closed on a 200 plus unit building. What got you into buying larger buildings?
Yeah, but I think, you know, we started out in that, you know, 1 to 4 unit. The strategy was, I had a friend who was doing it, you know, who had the systems in place. He had a few duplexes and I was like, all right, we'll try it. He found a place. This place is going to cash flow. Just trust me. You know, I'll show you the ropes. And as we scaled that business up, just really fell in love with it, you know, more than anything, and saw the returns happening. And we got lucky for sure. We were buying in Austin and just exactly the right time. So stuff was appreciating like crazy. We were able to make some mistakes and not suffer because it just, the market's on fire.
Yeah.
I think we kind of got to the end of a couple of things, you know, buying, it was strategically, we were buying 4 units and under because we could go get personal financing. And you can only get 10 of those loans. So as we got to that number, like we were now facing going to get commercial financing. So we're going to get, you know, shorter AMs and adjustable rates and things like that. And we kind of saw within our portfolio, the efficiencies of, you know, a 12 unit that we had was the best thing. It outperformed a 4 unit, outperformed the duplexes. We had a couple single families that were just not, didn't hold up. So just, you know, talk to people about that model and learned about it and realized that the economies of scale, the efficiencies, the property managers, everything about larger properties just operates better. It's more efficient. Since we were already staring at needing to do commercial financing, it just, you know, kind of to us, the obvious next step was go scale up, you know, do 125 unit plus deals.
Okay. So is that what you did? You went from a 12 unit and then you bought 125 plus unit deal. Was that your
step? Yeah. So the first deal I learned the business, kind of got some mentors, some partners, saw how they were doing it. I mean, I felt like I knew, you know, 75% of it. I knew the business model from the small scale. I didn't know, you know, how to raise money. I didn't want to go to jail. No, that was all my number one rule. So make sure you understand the legalities and the SEC structures of raising money. And then just the nuances of, you know, a bigger property versus what we'd been doing. So spend some time to kind of learn that. And then when we jumped in, yeah, the first deal we did was 192 units, about a $16 million deal.
Wow. Great. So take us through kind of that transition, because it's obviously a different business model buying, you know, 1 to 4 type families than to buy 192 unit. Is that what you said? 192
yeah.
unit.
Yeah.
There's a different model there, and yeah. There's a different kind of business there, and I've experienced that as well. So take us through your experience and how do you, you know, how have you successfully kind of transitioned there?
Yeah, I mean, the big difference, I think, obviously, is the raising money, you know, and just the number one, the legalities, which we talked about, but more than that, just the responsibility of I'm now going to take, you know, money from my friends, my family and investors and put it into these deals. It's an increased level of responsibility on our part. And so I think that was, you know, probably the biggest shift, you know, we had talked with a bunch of different property managers, had got a lot of recommendations and had been very active in networking in the markets we were chasing. So I felt good about that piece of it. And I knew, again, like having started with this, you know, 76 units of and managing myself, I kind of understood the business model. Sure, there's some differences, yeah. But it's really, how do you go about, you know, making sure you can raise the money that you need and finding the people and talking about the deal and just kind of that whole story around, you know, us around the property. And I really think for me, you know, I rely a lot on just, you know, my marketing background and sort of how do you, you know, build relationships with people? How do you tell the story? How do you position and package and be authentic in the way you're going about it? You know, the way you're talking to people, meeting people, like, here's what I'm doing. It's not brand new. Like, I've been doing this for 7 years. We've built up 76 units. It's been, for a lot of people, this is all they know me as, because I was not talking about my day job for the last 3 years. I had it. It was like every time we got together, I was talking about real estate. You know, I was talking about just the deals we were doing, how much fun it was. So it wasn't a new thing. It was just jumping across the chasm there to say, we're going to go do these bigger things and take you with us.
So take us back then. You said your day job, and it sounds like you're doing real estate while you had a day job, but take us back into, you know, that and your transition, and what, you know, why did you still work versus just quitting and go? I hear so many people talking about, you know, should I quit my job and just jump all in? And, you know, give us your take on that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'd say the moment I quit my job, it's been the best decision I've ever made. And it's also the most uncomfortable decision, right? So we probably, you know, we spent 4 years building up that portfolio from zero to 76 units. That entire time I was working a full-time job, I was a director at a company, had, you know, had a team, had responsibilities. I mean, it was a great job. It's well paying, all that stuff. It allowed us to scale. You know, and I've written about this, talked about it. Like, you, one of the reasons we were able to scale is because I had a great high paying job that allowed us to continue to qualify for loans, you know, that allowed us to have income to fuel that and continue to have down payments. I think somewhere along the way, I just realized, and really it was a conversation with my wife where she just, you know, it was 2 years ago, Christmas time, you know, talking about, we're actually driving to Colorado, so we had a big road trip, and just talking about life. And she's like, you're a miserable bastard. Like, you need to go do research, or you need to go quit that job and go do real estate full time. Like, this is your passion. It's what you care about. And that was really like her support and kind of prodding me, just like, you need to go do it. And so we, you know, talked about it some more and realized, you're right. You know, my day job at this point is just getting in the way of me pursuing my passion and building something that I really care deeply about. So it still took a year of a lot of conversations and planning and realizing, like, okay, we have some passive income from our rental portfolio. You know, I have the confidence in the business itself. You know, let's go give ourselves 18 months to figure it out and see if it's going to see, you know, what we think of working for ourselves, what we think of actually, you know, if we're able to build this thing out. And like I said, super uncomfortable decision, but it's been the best thing ever.
What a fantastic wife to tell you that.
No, totally. Yeah. I mean, I might still be there, you know, if she hadn't been so forceful and just like, you're go do this. Like, this is what you love.
Yeah. So looking back now that you've quit and that you're doing this, would you have quit earlier, or do you think what you did was the right path?
You know, I always struggle with that and talking to people. I mean, I would never go change any of my life experiences, right? Yeah, even my dad getting sick. I mean, that's been my path and that's gotten me to where I am. If I could go back and do it over, would I quit a little earlier? Maybe a little bit, you know, maybe 6 months before that. Not, I certainly wouldn't, you know, with no real estate experience, go and say, hey, I'm going to quit my job and go do real estate full time. Or say investing. I mean, maybe you want to go be a broker or go do something, you know, more tangible. But no, I think I was able to learn the business. You know, I was able to, again, make some mistakes and not realize that I had an income coming in, you know, had a job, and it allowed me to learn the business in a really methodical way.
Cool. That's kind of what I was expecting to hear. That's the advice I give to everybody too, is, you know, I mean, if you're really young and you got no family, nothing, yeah, you can kind of take more risks, but otherwise, get yourself prepared and then do it.
And there's so many ways to do that now, right? I mean, you can go buy a duplex all by yourself, go be a passive investor in a deal and learn, go, you know, get into some sort of coaching program, or like, there are so many different paths and strategies. Go get your real estate license on the side. Like, there's a lot of ways you can go get real estate experience and continue to work, you know, and scale it faster.
Yeah, absolutely. So I want to talk about this 192 unit because I think that's awesome. That's your first big deal. So let's talk a little bit about that. You raised money for it. So take us through that experience. And then I guess just talk to us a little bit about what that building is and what you guys are doing to it.
Yeah, sure. And maybe we'll start there. So I live in Austin, been very focused on Texas markets at large. You know, luckily to have grown up here, have great relationships, and I'm in a good growing part of the country. We kind of specifically have been focusing a lot on San Antonio in the last year. Feel like it's got a lot of great population and growth metrics. It's not buzzed about as much as Austin and Dallas are, say, you know, on a national level. So there's a little bit less competition, but it's got really, you know, solid rent growth. So we've been very focused there. The asset is there. It's on the northwest side of San Antonio, which in my opinion is the best quadrant. You know, it's where all the growth is happening, located close to good jobs, you know, high end, good part of town. I'd say it's a very, you know, class B plus area, maybe even A minus. So we got it in a really good area. It was a property that we bought from basically a REIT. So they had it for about 10 years and they were selling it because their loan was due. You know, REITs traditionally manage the property pretty well, but they don't update it. You know, their mantra is not to go spend money. So it's kind of a blank canvas for us to come in and execute a business plan. And for us, that's, you know, come in and renovate the units and raise the rents, but also come up with some different value add strategies. So we've rebranded the property. We're in the process this week of, we've signed the contracts with the GCs to start the exterior work. You know, the updates to the leasing center and the gym and the pool, et cetera. We've got 12 units that are already being turned, you know, and updated, doing things like renovated parking and some pet yards, trash valet system we've put in, create some revenue and, you know, make sure the property stays clean. So that's kind of the property. You know, from the process standpoint, you know, it was definitely a big deal. You know, so we were kind of targeting that 125 plus, probably 125 to 200. So, you know, out of the chute, a bigger deal than maybe we anticipated. Built a really good relationship with this broker that had it and it had toured a bunch of things, had made some offers on some other properties, but had kind of circled this one as one that we really liked and really, you know, loved the location, the opportunity of it. We actually didn't get it initially. So it was awarded to another group. We were, you know, super disappointed. I was like, man, that was such a good property. A couple weeks later, they called us back and said, hey, that buyer's 1031 equity has disappeared and they're not going to sign the contract. If you, and they were a very known, well-known, you know, group and had performed on other deals. So it was a little bit surprising for the broker, but that gave us the opportunity to slot in and pick it up.
Awesome. So take us through the raise if you're willing to, a little bit and how that went.
Yeah. So, you know, we ended up having a raise about $6.5 million. And it was, you know, the team efforts of my partner and I just, you know, reaching out to everybody we knew. And again, we've been probably 9 months into really focusing on San Antonio and saying, we're going to go get a deal there. You know, finding the right deal was the critical piece. So every day, as both our full-time focus, we are out talking people. I've got a goal of, I'd like to have 5 face-to-face meetings a week with new people, which just, you know, is a goal I set for myself. Most weeks I get pretty close to that, but constantly out talking to people, you know, here's what we're doing. Here's the types of things we're looking at. Are you interested? So we had a, you know, built up demand a little bit. And people, you know, wasn't out of the blue when we came and said, hey, we've been awarded this deal. Do you want to invest?
Sure.
That said, it's still stressful. You know, we had a crowdfunding platform that we were going to work with who ended up not performing at all, you know, kind of at the sort of 11th hour said, hey, that $1 million that we talked about, you know, that's not coming through. And so we were scrambling, but you know, we got it done and you know, we're on to the next one.
So you know, you guys have another property under contract. Is that
right? Yep. We do.
And, sounds like you're closing early spring.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's a great testament to like how relationship oriented this business is. So this one's a 253 unit, but it's from the same seller and using the same broker, using the same debt team. Okay. We knew this property was going to get listed kind of halfway through the previous deal as we were closing that one. So we were very conscious to be a good buyer. Yeah. We didn't push back on some things. We said, look, this is make it as smooth as possible. Make sure we perform. There was a bunch of hiccups with title at the end, and we ended up having to put down some extra earnest money that was no fault of our own. And rather than bitch about it, we just said, look, here, bite our tongue. We knew we were going to chase this other deal. So we really got it because we had a good relationship. We had just made it a very easy process for them. And we were able to get it without having the highest price offer, so I feel good about it. But yeah, it's another great location, great deal, same business plan. So everything about it was rinse and repeat for us. And it's because we have a great relationship, we're able to go execute on that one as well.
So are the properties close enough together where you can kind of utilize, management and all that kind of?
Yeah. So they're 2 miles apart, and we'll definitely get some economies of scale there, with like some floating maintenance folks, and the renovations will be happening in pretty short order. So the GCs, we're getting good rates from them. On the exit, we like that there's a possibility we could sell these as a portfolio, right? They're two deals. It's going to be 450 units within 2 miles of each other. Like, it attracts a different level of buyer if an institutional buyer wanted to come in and look at, probably $50 million or something at the time. We're excited about the economies of scale for sure.
Yeah. So you could actually execute the sale in two different ways. I mean, if you've got mm-hmm. that type of buyer, you could sell it as a package or you could split them up.
Yep.
Is that kind of the idea?
Yeah. So, it'll obviously we'll see where the market is in 4 or 5 years, which is the business plan. But yeah, I think we've got the option to market it as, individually or together.
Cool. So talk about your teams that are in place. Are they your own employees? Are you self-managing it? Are you self-contracting it? Talk about those teams, how you found them, how you're operating that.
Yeah. So, I've said we kind of a lot throughout this. And so we is my partner and I. My partner is a guy that I met, kind of relationships. I met him at a conference, started chatting. He has a podcast like this. We kind of went on there and realized we were doing the exact same things in most of the same places. And after, liked each other, he'd send me, hey, what do you think about this neighborhood in San Antonio? Or tell me about this, this little city in Dallas. I'd ask him questions about underwriting. And so he's got a structural engineering background and he's done ground up development and he's managed contractors and he knows that piece of it, budgeting and all of those. I've got a marketing background and I'm local. So I'm thinking, big picture, building good relationships, making sure we see all the deals. So it's he and I are the two partners in Wildhorn now. Then we've got an analyst that we kind of run on a part-time basis to help look at the deals. Everything else is third party. So we do third party management. We've got a company that it's based here in Austin, but they've got about 5,000 units between Austin and San Antonio. They got a couple in each of Dallas and Houston, but great relationship with them. They only focus on, class B kind of reposition value add plays. So they've got a construction management component to their team. Understand kind of the marketing pieces of it. So we're able to leverage them and scale without building out a huge team and infrastructure around this.
Perfect. Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's kind of move on. Let's talk about what's one of your biggest mistakes that you've made to date in this business?
Yeah. Some of it goes back to, we're talking about what would I tell my younger self? And I think really it was not jumping into the value add or being afraid of the value add stuff getting started. Like even on the duplex, fourplex, the first few we bought were rehabbed. They were, was afraid to take on the challenge or, the time commitments, whatever it was related to the building out of rehabs. And I wish that I would have jumped into that earlier. That's really where you create wealth is in the appreciation. I mean, you can go force appreciation and do the rehabs. I wish I'd have started that earlier.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You're 100% on when you can create that value that's just basically you're magically creating that value. You don't have to worry about the market going up. You're actually forcing it by making improvements.
Yeah.
You know, raising rents, whatever that might be, lowering expenses. I mean, just doing things that are going to create that added value is very, very powerful.
Like on this current deal, this 253 unit, it's got two pools, and our business plan, we're going to get rid of one of the pools. You know, from most of the research we've talked to people and property managers, like that second pool doesn't get that much use. So we're going to fill it in, and we're going to create an amenity, which the residents will get value out of. And it's, you know, it's some multi-use space with a pagoda and a grill and stuff. But it's also going to take, you know, probably $10,000 a year off of our expenses to operate that pool that doesn't get that much use.
Well, probably the first pool doesn't get that much use. I mean, the amenities at a 200 unit building just don't get as much use as what you'd think they would.
Yeah, no, we talk about that a lot. I mean, a lot of it's marketing, right? You got to check the box, and you want to have these things. You got to have a gym. Who actually is going to use the gym? Like I hope people do use it, but the reality is most people don't. You know, they're not going to use all the stuff you're putting in place, but you want to have it. You want to attract the people that do want to use those things.
I walked a 700 unit building complex with a gentleman, and they put in just a ton of amenities. I mean, every amenity you can ever think of. And he's got three gyms. He's got a free weight gym. He's got a kind of like an aerobic type gym. And then he's got your machines, you know, and he's got a rock climbing wall. He's got a golf simulator. He's got all that stuff in there, and they've got aerobics classes. They've got trainers that PTs that come in, and he says people still go out and buy their gym memberships, and they don't use our gyms. He says it's amazing how little people would be using these gyms, and they go out and they get their own memberships.
Yeah.
So he said, maybe I should start charging a membership fee to get more people into this gym.
Yeah.
So
you got to have it.
Yeah. 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 So let's talk about some of the essential people that have helped you, you know, become successful and move you into the direction you're moving.
Yep. You know, I always start the my friend, you know, the broker and kind of mentor that got me into the space, you know, that it said, look, trust me, we'd been talking about it for a while. Said, here's a duplex that I'm listing. I know the guy's selling it. It's in good shape. It's in a great area. So I always start with him, you know, and was really able to leverage his team and systems as I kind of, you know, got my skis underneath me a little bit and figured out what the hell I was doing. I mean, I can remember pulling up to that place the day we closed on it and just being like terrified, like, oh my God, what have I done? You know, I got a letter to give to the new tenants, and it's like, here's, I'm your new landlord. This is how you're going to pay rent. Text me with questions. I had no systems in place, but he was critical. Like he really got me, you know, gave me the confidence to go get it started. And then, you know, from there we kind of figured it out. So I always start with him, obviously my partner now, you know, that's been, we wouldn't be doing deals this size, you know, without each other and having very complementary skill sets. I mean, we're both, you know, super focused on the future and growth and driven and you know, both, it's our full-time passion and energy. But we've got such divergent skill sets that it allows us to focus on the different parts of the business. You know, from talk about, as you know, like putting a deal together, I mean, the skill sets of raising capital and putting a deal together, marketing it are very different than underwriting, you know, and then the asset management piece. And if you're doing property management, all those are so divergent. And, you know, are you a big picture thinker? Are you in the details and the weeds? Do you like numbers and are you comfortable with spreadsheets or are you not? Like, it's just to have one person try and do all that is really difficult.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So take us through your kind of mind shift. You already kind of talked a little bit about that, but take us through that mind shift to becoming going from an employee to an entrepreneur.
You know, it's like I said, super uncomfortable. I mean, I was just to turn off a very well-paying job and walk away from that was obviously the most uncomfortable part, you know, with a wife and a couple kids. I think having done it, you know, now, like it's been the best decision. And I think the mindset is you know, you're out there and you sort of eat what you kill, right? You got to be always hustling, and there's more ownership, obviously, because you're incentivized to go out and perform and, you know, make sure you're building great relationships, make sure you're finding good deals, make sure the deals you've got are operating. Because then I think there's a lot more pride in it, in pride in what you do, and sure, talking to people about, you know, what you're doing, because it's, you know, it's mine. And it's me. It's not just a company. Like Wildhorn is me, and they're interchangeable. So it's just a huge mindset difference.
Going from a well-paying job to, yeah, that's got to be nerve-wracking. I went from a $30,000 a year job to doing what I did. So it was a little smaller step. If I went down to zero, that wasn't very far to fall.
Well, but I mean, you still had the security, right? You still had every 2 weeks, or, you know, you were getting a paycheck, like, and benefits, you know, how long do you figure out and sort through, like, what are you going to do for healthcare? I mean, like, every time I talk to somebody and they're thinking about doing, that's the first question they have. What do you do for healthcare? It's nerve wracking.
It is. It doesn't matter how much you make. It truly is. It's a totally different game. And the uncertainty too, with, you know, what you're doing, what I'm doing, you just don't, I mean, there's no paycheck coming in every single month. The nice thing with rentals is there kind of is, but, you know, I was doing a lot of flipping and stuff like that at one time, and there's no paycheck there. You can go 3-4 months without a check. And then finally, all of a sudden you get some nice paychecks, but it can be nerve wracking. You're not punching the clock.
That's such a huge piece, you know, as you go out and you're building this business, is making sure you have the backstop, whether it's savings account or other income streams, whatever it is, because the last thing you want to do as an operator is have this gun to your head. Like, I got to go get a deal because I need a fee. Like, that's you're done. You know, you're going to be buying terrible deals. You're not going to be disciplined, particularly right now, as hot as the markets are. Like, you have to have the backstop to know, like, look, if nothing happens the rest of this year, it's okay, because do I want something to happen? Sure. But I don't have to, I'm not going to go force the issue if I can't find a good opportunity.
Yeah. I think you're spot on there. If you have to force it, and you start to get desperate, that's when you start to get sloppy. That's when you start to make mistakes. And that's where you start to get where, especially when you're using investors, you can get yourself into a heap of trouble.
Yeah.
You're right on there. Okay. So we're going to ask a couple more questions before we wrap it up. What are three key factors to success in your mind?
I think number one is there's just passion, energy, you know, focus, whatever you want to call it, that I think you've got to have as you go build a business, that it's something that you can't ignore. You're excited to get up every day. You know, you're excited to work late at night. I mean, it's just, there's Gary Vee always talks about, like, just work your face off. And I love that, like, quote. I mean, I think if you don't have that energy to go and the passion for what you're doing, you know, it's tough to really go be successful, and people will see that. You know, I hope that when I sit down with people, you or an investor or anybody, that they can tell, like, I genuinely love this job. I genuinely am passionate about everything about the business. Like, there's pieces that aren't my strengths, but I still understand and I genuinely enjoy, like, everything that goes into it. So I think you got to have that. You got to have some sort of, like, organizational system, you know, and, like, how do you, one of my sayings are kind of, I've got on my whiteboard back here, is like, progress is the goal. You know, so every single day I can beat myself up because I didn't get every little single thing done, or you've got so many things you're trying to do. What are your systems in place to make sure that every day you can make some progress, you know, tangible? If it's one step, it may not be the five steps you wanted to take, but across everything you need to get done, you've got to have systems that you can go make progress. You know, for me, it's just a simple red, you know, my red little Moleskine that I just write everything in. So I write my to-do list for the day, my weekly planning. And then I take it everywhere I go. So as I have a thought or a note, I just jot it down. That's my system. It's not, certainly not complex, but it works for me to kind of keep pushing forward.
Cool. So what's a favorite book
You know, I listen to a bunch of stuff. So big podcast guy and audiobooks. You know, I'd say I definitely listen to more podcasts than I do books, you know, big seminal books, obviously, like a Rich Dad, Poor Dad. The first real estate book I read was Millionaire Real Estate Investor, you know, and again, back to my first friend, like, so 2 years before I bought a property, when I was talking to him about, you know, pondering life, dealing with my dad, he gave me Gary Keller's book. So that's been huge. But right now I'm just always trying to consume interesting content, and it's usually podcast oriented, you know, not all of it's real estate. You know, I nerd out on Freakonomics and, you know, how things were built and some of the just more interesting business oriented things. But I'm always out listening. I'm always behind. I feel like I have too many things I'm trying to keep up with on the podcast list.
That's me too. I've got my podcast list and there's tons of them I want to listen to. So yeah. I go through and delete the ones I'm like, oh, I got to somehow catch up. Always constantly behind.
Yeah.
All right. Last question before we wrap up. What is your definition to the secret of financial freedom?
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting question. And for me, I think there's too much focus on financial freedom. You know, I think it scares people off because when I think of financial freedom, when I was first bought a rental property, that's what I was thinking about was, you know, sitting on the beach, drinking Mai Tais, like that's umbrella drinks. That's what people picture. And I think that if you think more about financial independence is really like, that's what's attainable, you know, and I would argue like what you and I both have now is financial independence. Yeah, we both need to work and we both want to work, but we're doing something that we're both really passionate about and that, you know, pays the bills and keeps food on the table, but I'm independent. I'm not relying on anybody else. And I think if people are contemplating a shift, whether it's into real estate or any other pursuit, like think about how can you be independent doing that versus relying on, you know, some other big company or some other thing to kind of be that thing for you. And it, to me, it helps make it more attainable, right? I'm not trying to have, you know, X number of $1 million in the bank so I can be sitting on the beach or playing golf all the time. I just need, you know, what's my monthly run rate or how much do I need to make in a year in order to put food on the table? And again, to your flip story about flipping, like it's going to get lumpy and you got to be okay with, you know, your income's going to come in different forms than a paycheck every 2 weeks. But what can you do to be financially independent? You know, that's the first step towards financial freedom, I think.
Perfect. I love it. Yeah. You're right. Don't focus on just that financial freedom. You get carried away with it sometimes.
Well, then you look up, it's 20 years, life's passed you by, you know, like you still don't have it. You've got a 401k and the stock market drops 1,000 points in a day and you're like suicidal. I mean, it's,
yeah.
You know, take some ownership and be independent about it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, financial freedom is truly not all about how much money you can truly make in your lifespan. Yeah. So cool. Yeah. Well, Andrew, I appreciate you being on the show and sharing your insight and talking to us about your business, especially that 192 unit. Awesome deal. Congratulations on that.
Thanks.
So how can our listeners get in touch with you if they want to reach out to you and connect?
Yeah. So the company is Wildhorn Capital. We've got a website that's wildhorncap.com. And my email is just andrew@wildhorncap.com.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I appreciate it. And that's it. So you have a great rest of the day and good talking to you. And I will be seeing you soon in Denver this week, not next week, this week. Awesome.
Yep. Looking forward to connecting up there and enjoy the conversation.
Awesome. Talk to you soon.
All right.
A special thanks to Andrew Campbell for joining us and his valuable insights that he shared and talking to us about his company and what they got going on at Wildhorn Capital and the 192 unit building that just closed on, the 200 plus unit building that they're going to be closing on soon and talking to us about his path and giving us, you know, great advice. So three things that I took from this is systems. You know, make sure that every single day you're making that progress. You know, he talked about just make that one little step. It doesn't matter if you make these huge leaps and bounds, you just got to make one step to get yourself to that next level and then build on that one step and continue. The next thing he's talking about is having passion. Make sure you're passionate about what you're doing. If you're not passionate, if you don't love what you're doing, why do it? You know, you figure out something else to do. Figure out how to bring that fire back. What do you need to do to bring that fire back? So how are you going to be passionate about what you're doing? And the last thing he's talking about is don't focus on financial freedom. And he talks about focusing on your passion. What are you passionate about? And also focus on what's important, you know, your family, your friends, whatever is important in your life, focusing on that. And with everything you do, make sure it's purposeful and it's serving what you're passionate about. It's serving what you want and need out of life. And that is going to get you that financial freedom that you're going to, that you want, you desire. So great advice from Andrew. Reach out to him and go to his website, wildhorncap.com, or send him an email, andrew@wildhorncap.com. I'm Todd Dexheimer, and I am signing out. Check out our Facebook page, and then also go on to iTunes. We'd love to have you subscribe to the show. We'd love to have a rating and review from you. So check us out on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, wherever you listen to these podcasts. Check us out, subscribe, share it. We'd love to get more and more people involved in listening and everything. And if you've got a great guest that you think would be good for the show, also send that, you know, go to our Facebook page and recommend somebody for the show. That's it. Make every day a Saturday.
Are you ready to start investing in real estate today, but don't know where to start? Sometimes investing can seem way too complicated, but it actually couldn't be any easier than with homeinvest.com. You know, the co-founder and my friend, Nate Armstrong. He appeared on episode 20. And if you haven't heard it, go back and listen to it. Episode number 20. Home Invest is a company that allows you to invest in turnkey real estate. Their goal is to build powerful investment tools that make real estate investing accessible to everyone. They have contractors and property managers available for you with the click of your mouse. While other real estate agents can only offer a property, Home Invest brings you a full turnkey package that allows you to diversify your investments, earn passive income, and start building equity in properties. Their simple, intuitive design allows newcomers and experienced investors alike to hit the ground running and to be able to choose the properties when they want and where they want. View easy-to-understand charts and data to allow you to buy in only a few clicks or just a simple phone call. With Home Invest, you'll be building your portfolio as quickly or as slowly as you would like. And right now, Home Invest is giving our listeners, Pillar of Wealth Creation listeners, a free course on how to finally win in real estate investing. So go to homeinvest.com/pillars. That's homeinvest.com/pillars to claim your free course today.